Well, let's start with one of the big issues of the session, pseudoephedrine in this battle to eradicate methamphetamine production in Kentucky. This bill that's making its way through would require a prescription for pseudoephedrine, and it's used in cold medicines. Where do we stand now?
Yeah, the bill passed the Senate committee this week on Thursday, and a pretty narrow vote, 6-5. In fact, it was quite funny. A lot of people in the committee who have been following this were starting to watch who was leaving the room, who was entering the room for a while. Senator Carol Gibson, who voted for the measure, he had to step out of the room for about 20 minutes, so people thought it might deadlock 5-5. Senator Katie Stein, who's against the measure, walks out the room, so everyone thinks it's a slam dunk. It's a real tight, real controversial issue. There's a lot of money being poured in on both sides to get their way, and it's led to heated arguments. It's led to accusations. It's a tough bill, and it's a tough issue for people really to get around.
So who are the players on each side? You have law enforcement on the side. We want to eradicate, meth. We're having to clean up these labs all the time. And then on the other side, I assume the pharmaceutical companies.
Right. You have the Consumer Healthcare Products Association. Both sides are spending money, are having radio ads, for or against their measure. And, a lot of advocacy groups, a lot of citizen groups are talking about also they're not in favor of the bill and what it's doing because, they say it takes away from law-abiding citizens or, people with asthma or allergies who need Sudafed on a daily or weekly basis, to make it tougher for them. So it really is a tough issue. Law enforcement says you have to have it if we're going to crack down on this. But the funny thing is they want to make it available by prescription only. The thing in Kentucky is prescription pill abuse is probably more prevalent and worse off than meth or, any other type drug production and use. So there's a lot of it really gets down in the weeds and it's really controversial and people get really emotional about the issue.
So, as you said, it has passed a Senate committee, goes to the Senate floor. What are its prospects of winning passage?
The funny thing is I don't think anyone really knows. I think there's a lot of squishy votes there. Even the sponsor of the bill, who's the majority floor leader, Robert Stivers, who would know what his membership wants and would count those votes, says he doesn't know if it can pass this full Senate. It barely got out of committee, and that committee has a lot of Eastern Kentucky legislators who are in favor of the prescription-only abuse or use. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the full Senate, you get a lot of Louisville lawmakers, a lot of Northern Kentucky lawmakers who say, we think this is too much for this issue. So it's really up in the air. And even if it passes the Senate, it's going to be a close vote, one or two votes. And then it has to go through the House. And it hasn't played out in the House yet either. So it has to do the same motions in that chamber. I don't know that the pseudoephedrine as prescription only bill can pass this session based on all those roadblocks.
Let's move on to charter schools. It's been a big issue in this session. Anything still possible as far as establishing charter schools in this session?
I think it probably will not make it through a House committee because it probably won't come up for a vote. Originally, House Education Chairman Carl Rollins said that if he hears a bill, he allows it for a vote. I think he's stepped back from that a little bit. Of course, the Senate passes a charter school bill every session, so there's no worry on that side of the hallway what can get done. The battle is really in the House, and it really is starting to be a battle now. Both sides are picking up their respective steam. They're gearing up and they're arguing this issue in the House Education Committee. I think it'll get a few more hearings. And at the end, could Rollins decide to let a vote on the bill? He could. He's not in favor of the bill. So if he lets a vote, to me, that says he knows it's going to die. But if he doesn't allow a vote, that may allow charter school advocates to work a whole nother session to get those votes.
Let's talk about Governor Steve Beshear's proposal for a constitutional amendment on expanding gambling in Kentucky. What's going on with that measure?
Well, of course, that was released earlier this week, and immediately out of the gate, to use a horse racing term, it stumbled. It was bumped. Almost immediately, House Speaker Greg Stumbo, who was with the governor at his press conference to unveil the amendment, says, I have serious questions about it. Obviously, Senate President David Williams is rallying and saying, I don't support this, and I think it has a load of questions, both statutorily and constitutionally. And so now you're seeing State Senator Damon Thayer, the sponsor in the Senate, saying we might change it a little bit if the governor wants to. The governor's saying we might change it. Stumbo says, if it's going to pass my chamber, it's definitely going to change. And the problem really relies on the 60 miles in the bill. You cannot have a casino within 60 miles of a horse racing track, which really makes it difficult to have a casino anywhere in the state other than the London Corbin area. And then it also, you know, it protects the horse racing industry with 5 guaranteed casinos at racetracks. And a lot of people are nervous about what they're calling the constitutional guarantee for racetracks. How can you give private businesses a guarantee in the Constitution? That opens up a wide range of options that they really don't want to tackle.
We've been down this road before with gambling proposals, and the big stumbling block has also always been the Senate and President David Williams. Is there a chance that we'll get a vote in a hearing this time?
I think so. I think it's going to get a vote in the state and local government committee, and I think it can pass that committee. And I don't think that a lot of people in Frankfurt say the issue's already dead. I don't subscribe to that. I think there's a lot of squishy votes in the middle in that chamber. I think there's some people who can vote yes, depending on how it's worded. And, you know, this may actually be a gamble to put all this wording out now to be able to get that compromise. You know, maybe they were a few votes short. They put this proposal out there. It gets people talking. You start compromising. And all of a sudden, you latch on those few extra votes in the Senate that Beshear may not have had. That's a gamble maybe he's taking. But at the same time, you know, I actually think if it's going to pass, it's going to pass this session. And I still believe there's that hope. There are those that say there is no hope for this gambling amendment, though.
It's been a big issue for Governor Beshear. Of course, he ran on it and has been pushing it. And a big issue for Mrs. Beshear, Jane Beshear, has been this dropout bill that would raise the dropout minimum or the dropout age in Kentucky. It is advancing, but you reported this week that its prospects are uncertain.
Yeah, the funny thing is that it's advanced more so than it ever has in previous sessions. The House has passed the version that we most know about, the one that the First Lady advocates about gradually raising that age and not allowing people to sign out or drop out their kids at 16 years old, firmly cementing it at 18 years old. That passed the full House last night. The funny thing is a dropout bill has passed the Senate, but it's got a lot of changes from what the First Lady has proposed. So they're going to work through those changes, I think. The governor's going to try to. But there are some major differences. Of interesting note is that House Education Chairman Carl Rollins, who we spoke about earlier, has scheduled that Senate bill for a hearing in his committee. So that's interesting. They might try to do a committee sub and put the old language back in there. Maybe they pass the Senate bill as a compromise and that works. It's a little uncertain, but I would say in this time, it's a good uncertain, whereas when you talk about most bills being uncertain, it's kind of a bad uncertain.
All right. Kenny Colston is Capital Bureau Chief for Kentucky Public Radio. Kenny, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.